Dr. Vogel growled, "Andy?"
"Well, I can't just sit here."
"Try. We're here to listen to each other, to support each other, not argue."
"Look," I said, exasperated, "enough is enough. The whole presumption of this conversation is that Jacob has something to answer for, to explain. It's just not true. A horrible thing happened, all right? Horrible. But it's not our fault. It's certainly not Jake's fault. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I'm thinking, what the hell are we talking about? Jacob had nothing to do with Ben Rifkin getting killed. Nothing. But we're all sitting here talking about Jake as if he's some kind of freak or monster or something. He's not. He's just an ordinary kid. He has his flaws like every other kid, but he had nothing to do with this. I'm sorry, but somebody has to stand up for Jacob here."
Dr. Vogel. "Andy, looking back, what do you think about all those kids who got hurt around Jacob? All the kids falling off playground structures and crashing bicycles. Was it all just bad luck? Coincidence? How did you think about it?"
"Jacob had a lot of energy. He played too rough. I acknowledge that. It's something we dealt with when he was a kid, but that's all it was. I mean, this all happened before Jake got to kindergarten. Kindergarten!"
"And the anger? You don't think Jacob has an issue with anger?"
"No, I don't. People get angry. It's not an issue."
"There's a report here from Jacob's file that he punched a hole in the wall in his bedroom. You had to call a plasterer. This was just last fall. Is that true?"
"Yes, but how did you get that?"
"Jonathan?"
"That was for Jacob's legal defense only."
"That's what we're doing here, preparing his defense."
"Is it true? Did he punch a hole in the wall?"
"Yes. So what?"
"People don't generally punch holes in walls, do they?"
"Sometimes they do, actually."
"Do you?"
Deep breath.
"No."
"Lori thinks you may have a blind spot about the possibility of Jacob being violent. What do you think of that?"
"She thinks I'm in denial."
"Are you?"
I shook my head in a stubborn, melancholy way, like a horse swaying its head in a narrow stall.
"No, just the opposite. I'm hyper-alert to these things. I'm hyper-aware. I mean, you know my background. My whole life..."
Deep breath.
"Look it, you're always concerned when kids get hurt, even if it's an accident. You never want to see something like that. And you're always concerned when your own kid behaves in ways that are disturbing. So yes, I was aware of these things. I was concerned. But I knew Jacob. I knew my kid, and I loved him, and I believed in him, and I still do. I'm sticking with him."
"We're all sticking with him, Andy. That's completely unfair. I love him, too. It's got nothing to do with that."
"I never said you didn't, Lori. Did you hear me say you didn't love him?"
"No, but you always retreat to that. I love him. Of course you love him. We both love him. I'm just saying you can love your child and still see his flaws. You have to see his flaws, otherwise how can you help him?"
"Lori, did you or did you not hear me say you didn't love him?"
"Andy, that's not what I'm saying. You're not listening."
"I am listening. I just don't agree with you. You're drawing this picture of Jacob as violent and moody and dangerous, based on nothing, and I just disagree. But if I disagree, you say I'm being dishonest or unreliable. You're calling me a liar."
"I did not call you a liar. I've never called you a liar."
"You didn't use the word, no."
"Andy, no one's attacking you. There's nothing wrong with admitting your son might need a little help. It doesn't say anything about you."